Join us now for the Chapel Hour, coming to you from the campus of Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina. Following the introduction by Dr. Bruce McAllister, our speaker will be Reverend Larry Ball, pastor of Calvary Baptist Church in Hollister, California. The title of his message is The Pillar of Humility. The text is from 1 Samuel chapter 15, verses 17 and 26.
Today and tomorrow, our chapel speaker will be Pastor Larry Ball. He pastors Calvary Baptist Church in Hollister, California. His wife, Leslie, is here along with his whole family. His daughter, Vanessa, is a student in our student body. Pastor Ball has pastored in the greater San Francisco area now for 20 years, in this most recent church for 12 years. His sister, Brenda, many of you know her. Brenda Ball teaches on Link and has hundreds and hundreds of students across the nation in her science classes, so this is her brother, Larry. As I think of Pastor Ball, I think of a genuine man of God. What you see is what you get. And to me, that is so important, that people are just genuine men and women of God, and that's exactly what our chapel speaker here today is all about. He has a great heart for church planting, especially in California. And I'm sure he would welcome any contacts from our ministerial students who'd be interested in going that way. And he has spoken in our ministerial program. So, Pastor Ball, you come, and we look forward to hearing the Word of God from you today.
Well, I look forward to being with you today. I'm excited about this opportunity. I hope you can take 2 days of a Californian in this pulpit, and we won't cause too much damage. I am from Hollister, California, has two claims to fame. One is that it is the home of Calvary Baptist Church and school, and I don't know how big a claim to fame that really is. But the other is that it is called the earthquake capital of the world. And it's not so bad. I don't want to scare any of you away from California. We have about three major faults that run through the city or near the city of Hollister. And so most any time you hear of an earthquake in California, it's usually our fault. And it's quite an interesting place to live. Actually, you don't feel too many earthquakes. And we have students that come out or staff that come out. They come out usually aware of that. And they're expecting as soon as they get there, they're going to be shaken to death. And it doesn't happen. And sometimes they're quite disappointed. Actually, most Californians are more afraid of living back here than you are, many of you, of living in California. I hear people back here saying, oh, it'd be so scary to live in California. There are earthquakes and all those terrible things. Well, most native Californians think that living back here is a very scary thing. You talk to them. In fact, I did an informal survey a couple of days ago before I left. And I asked some people that I know, native Californians, would they rather be in an earthquake or a tornado or hurricane or flood or fire? And they all voted for an earthquake. So they don't feel that it's quite as scary as some of you might think it is. After the 89 Loma Prieta earthquake that was very near to our area, I preached a sermon afterwards, shortly after, entitled Foundations That Cannot Be Shaken. And I thought I might preach that this morning, and then I changed my mind. I know you would remember that one, I'm sure. But I want to talk to you this morning about something that is very heavy on my heart. A message the Lord has, I think, put on my heart because I think it's a great need. I think there is a tremendous weakness in this area among many Christians. And I want to deal with it this morning in a way that I hope will have an impact upon your life. Turn your Bibles to the book of 1 Samuel chapter 15. 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 17. Some have said that there are at least three key characteristics of a Christian whose life impacts others for Christ. The first of those characteristics is faith. The second characteristic is purity. The third characteristic is that of humility. And though we often hear messages on faith, and we are familiar with preaching on purity, the often forgotten pillar upon which an effective testimony is based and upon which godly leadership is founded is the pillar of humility. In 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 17, Samuel is rebuking King Saul. You're familiar with this passage, I'm sure. It's one of my favorite passages, one of my favorite passages to preach from. There are so many messages in this passage of Scripture. But verse 17, Samuel is rebuking Saul, and God says to him through Samuel, "When thou wast little in thine own sight, wast thou not made the head of the tribes of Israel? And the Lord anointed thee king over Israel. When thou wast little in thine sight." When you were little in your own eyes, he said, "I could do great things for you." When you were little in your own eyes, when you were humble, when you had a humble spirit to you, "I could raise you up to be the king over all of Israel." But in this passage of Scripture, we read that Saul became very arrogant. So arrogant that he did not feel he had to obey the commands of God. He elevated his opinion over the commands of God. And so we read, sadly, towards the end of this chapter, around verse 26, Samuel has to say to him, he says, "I will not return with thee, for thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord hath rejected thee from being king over Israel." What a sad turn of events. But I believe it hinges upon this one concept here, this one idea that God says, when you were little in your own sight, I could do this for you. But now you're not. And so now I have to take from you the kingdom of Israel. Many a great Christian has come from very simple and humble beginnings. God chooses to use the foolish things of this world to confound the mighty. And those Christians who continue to be used of God are those who remember who they really are and see themselves from a perspective of humility. Saul started out well. You're introduced to him back in chapter 9. He's chasing after some runaway livestock of his father. Chasing donkeys is not a very noble occupation. But after being anointed as king by Samuel, he does not go home and brag to everyone about what has happened. Rather, instead, when his uncle confronts him and asks him how everything went, he doesn't say anything about it. Later, when he's introduced, announced by Samuel as the anointed king of Israel, they have to go find him. The Bible says they had to fetch him from among the stuff. He was hiding. He was not someone who was putting himself out front, not someone who thought so highly of himself that he was overwhelmed with his own personality and overwhelmed with his own abilities. But how things change. What a change took place in the ensuing years. He obviously began to be impressed with himself. He obviously began to believe some of the things that, some of the very foolish things, by the way, that people say about kings. And he began to believe that some of those things must be true. And he is no longer little in his own sight. And by the time we come to chapter 15, he is so highly opinionated of himself that he thinks his opinions are better than God's and are more valuable than God's. And so it is when we fail in this area of humility. What is true of Saul is true of most of us when we fail to be humble. There are at least three characteristics I want to point out to you this morning in the story of Saul's life that are characteristic of those who have a true spirit of humility. They were lacking most of the time in Saul's later life. As we see these traits unfolded before us this morning, let's be very careful not just to point fingers at Saul, but let's be very careful to take very careful stock of our own lives. For if we are to have a lasting influence for Christ, if we are to be used of God, I believe we need to understand and get a hold on this characteristic of humility. As you go through the life of Saul, I think you find several things that stand out about his life. The first, I believe, that comes to mind as you just read his life in general, is that a humble person is characterized by sensible behavior. A humble person is characterized by sensible behavior. If you read through the life of Saul, you begin to find a lot of things that just don't make sense about what he does. Now, this is true for a couple of reasons. One of the reasons is that humility is a proper view of ourselves as God sees us and knows us to be. True humility is what God knows us. It's understanding ourselves and seeing ourselves as God sees us. That means that the two extremes, either being overly pessimistic about yourself or being overly optimistic about yourself, are not proper. Some people mistakenly take a pessimistic view of themselves and they think, well, that's humility. They take the attitude of, woe is me. I can't do anything. Poor me. I think I'll just eat some worms. I have no ability. I have no intelligence. I have no talents. I have no gifts. That is oftentimes not a humble attitude. Oftentimes that is a prideful attitude in disguise. Oftentimes a person, when they start to act as though, well, you know, I really can't do much for the Lord. I can't do anything. I'm not very talented. Oftentimes they're simply fishing for compliments. Please tell me I'm great. Please tell me how wonderful I am. Please tell me how good I am. Or sometimes it's a cloak for a prideful attitude that is so perfectionistic that if I can't do something perfect, I'm not going to do it at all. And so we hide behind the mask of humility and say, well, I'm just not very good at that, and so I can't really do that. That's not humility. That's pride. And there are a great number of people today, maybe some of you, who have talents that you never use for the Lord, abilities that you never allow God to take hold of, opportunities that you never avail yourself of because you're hiding behind this mask of humility. Oh, poor me, I can't do anything. I see people in churches with great talents. Maybe they're not the greatest musician in the world, but they can use their talents in a way that would be honoring to God. They're not the greatest teacher or the greatest speaker or the greatest orator that ever came along, but they can teach a Sunday school lesson. They could witness. They could share the gospel with people. It's amazing how easy we are deceived and allow ourselves to be deceived by this false sense, pessimistic view of ourselves, and we call it humility. But neither is it an overly optimistic view of ourselves. Romans 12:3 says, "For I say through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith." God does not want us to be puffed up. God does not want us to have an overly high view of ourselves. There are some people who think so much of themselves. They are so impressed by everything that they do. But we need to rather be sober. We need to think seriously and honestly from God's perspective and through God's Word, evaluate ourselves and see ourselves as God sees us. Saul began to act very insensibly. You can go through the life of Saul and we could just take actually a series of messages just going through his life and showing the foolish things that he did. In chapter 14, he makes a foolish command that no one can have anything to eat. It's in the midst of a battle until he is avenged of himself. And Jonathan, his son, not knowing the commandment, comes along and eats a little bit of honey. And Saul's ready to kill him because he disobeyed his command. That was a foolish thing to do. We read here in chapter 15 about his act of disobedience. That's foolish. Why would he think that his opinion was higher than God's opinion? But there are some young people who oftentimes think that their opinion is higher than God's. Even when they know what God clearly says, they excuse and justify their disobedience to God because they have this insensible perspective on everything. You go to the story of David and Goliath. You hear that message preached. You've learned that story since you were a child. We admire David and his courage. But if you look at it from Saul's standpoint, what a foolish thing for Saul to do. To allow a young boy to put on armor that was too big for him to go out and fight the greatest warrior of the Philistines. That just doesn't make sense from a military standpoint or from a standpoint of Saul as king. His jealousy over David, it did not make sense. His obsession almost with David as he chases him all around the countryside trying to kill him. Another point, he tries to kill again his son Jonathan by throwing a javelin at him just because he doesn't get the answer he wants to get from his son Jonathan. And of course, it ends up with the sad story of him consulting with the witch to try to find out what's going to happen to him. His actions just do not make a lot of sense. And the reason is because when you are filled with pride and you do not have a proper view of yourself, your perspective of everything else is messed up. Your perspective of life, your perspective of those who are trying to help you is twisted. There are some of you who, because of a lack and failure in this area of humility, don't know it when someone's trying to really be a help to you. Someone comes along and they try to correct you. They try to encourage you from the Scriptures. They try to show to you something that is wrong about your lifestyle or something's wrong in your spiritual walk. And rather than being grateful to them for helping you, rather than being thankful for God putting this person in your life, you become very angry. You think they're trying to hurt you. Just like Saul always thought David was trying to hurt him, and really David was just trying to be a help and blessing to him. But when you fail in this area of humility, you lack humility, your whole perspective of everything else becomes out of sorts and out of sync. Another thing you find about a humble person is not only do they have sensible behavior, but you also find they have a teachable attitude. In chapters 9, 10, and 11 of 1 Samuel, Saul basically does what he is told. He does what he's told by his father. He does what he is told by Samuel. And he does what he's told by God. But it doesn't take long before he begins to not listen to anyone. In chapter 15, he excuses his disobedience. Why does he excuse his disobedience? Well, the reason he excuses his disobedience is he has a better idea. He doesn't think that keeping back the spoil and taking some of the animals to keep for sacrifice, he doesn't really think that's wrong. He justifies that in his opinion. You know, there are a lot of young people, and perhaps even in this place, I'm sure, who hear right from wrong taught from this pulpit, who maybe even as far as just in the day-to-day life here in the university know what to do, know what they should do, know what they should not do. You know what the rules are. But you know what? You don't really think it's that wrong. And so you go ahead and do it anyway. You have elevated your opinion above everybody else. I don't really think it's wrong, and so I'll do it. Well, even if the actual action itself was not wrong, to violate authority is wrong, is rebellion. But it's amazing how we can justify it. Because we think so much of our opinions. We're not teachable. We are not open to allow God to teach us and allow God to use others to teach us. Lack of humility will keep you from learning what you need to learn. It's amazing to me how that people never want their money's worth when it comes to education. We pay good money to argue with someone who's teaching us. I know what happens. Maybe you're sitting in a class. Maybe, for example, you're sitting in a music class. And your music teacher, voice teacher, whoever, is teaching you and they're trying to show you how to do something in a certain way that they say will bring honor to the Lord or will be the best way to do it. And you're sitting there thinking, I don't want to do it that way. I know what's best for me. And though outwardly you may conform, inwardly you're just waiting for the chance to go back and do it the way you want to do it. Maybe in Bible class where the Bible teacher is teaching you about some important issue, or in chapel where someone is trying to take a stand and point out some errors of some particular movement or some particular theology today. And you're thinking to yourself, well, I know better than that. I'm not going to do what they say. I'm not saying that we just blindly follow whatever someone teaches us. But a person who is humble has a teachable spirit, who is willing to listen and evaluate the evidence and carefully weigh what is being taught to them. I have known many people with great talents and great abilities, but just would not allow themselves to be taught by others. And sadly, as a result, if you are not a teachable person and do not have a teachable attitude, then you will also not be a usable person. A humble person has sensible behavior. A humble person has a teachable spirit. But thirdly, in the life of Saul, you find that a humble person is usable. God had to tell Saul here at the very beginning of this passage in 1 Samuel 15, when you were little in your own eyes, when you were humble, I could elevate you and use you. When you were humble, I could do great things for you. But when you ceased to be humble, I had to take from you the kingdom of Israel. Now that you are too big to obey, I'll have to take it away. It is only as we humble ourselves the Lord can lift us up. That's exactly what the Bible tells us to do. Humble yourself before the Lord, and He shall lift you up. God does not tell you to lift yourself up. God does not tell you to promote yourself. God says simply to humble yourself before the Lord, and He will lift you up. But there are a great many of people, great many people, who because of their great abilities, and because of their great talent, and because of their great skill, never are usable. I knew someone once that was highly skilled in the area of music. They came to college, went to a Christian college, could have had excellent training. But you know, their attitude was, well, I'm afraid to take lessons, music lessons from my instructors. This was exactly what they said. They might mess me up. How arrogant for a high school student, no matter how talented they are, even for a college student, no matter how talented they are, to look at someone who is much more experienced and greatly gifted in their area and all sorts of training and abilities to say they might mess me up. And so they refused to take any courses in that area of music. Sadly today, they're not being greatly used of the Lord. In fact, they're not even using their talents much in the church where they're at. Pride will do that to you. Failure to be humble will keep you from really being used of God. It's amazing to me. People that I've known throughout my life, people that I knew even when I was a student here, I had classmates, some with tremendous potential, some who, if you would have been here in school, you probably would have said they are probably the most likely to succeed, the most likely to do something for God. And in some cases, many of them have gone on and done great things for the Lord, but in some cases, some of them have done very little for the Lord. And some are on the shelf, some are out of the Lord's service. Some have messed their lives up terribly. I don't know if they began to believe the things that people said about them, how great they were. I don't know if they began to think that they were really above the Word of God and their opinions was above the truth of God's Word. I don't know if they came to that opinion or not. But they became unusable. Pride does that to a person. Failure to be humble puts you in a place where God can no longer use you and God can no longer honor you and elevate you to a place of usefulness that He wants you to be. This may be one of the saddest chapter from verse 17 to verse 26 may record for us one of the saddest failures in the Bible. A man who was little in his own eyes that God could use, going to a place where God could no longer use him. But you know, there are many people I've met through life. There are many people I've met in churches. I'm sure there are perhaps students here this morning with great ability. But because of your pride, because of your lack of humility, because you have not fostered humility and sought after the Lord and really humbled yourself before the Lord, there's a great limit on what you're eventually going to do for the Lord. And that's sad. Because as I think about this audience this morning, I'm amazed at the ability that is here. The potential to be used for God. The great future, should the Lord tarry, of what can be done for the Lord and what can be accomplished here by God's grace and by God's power. But there are some here who will never get to that point of usefulness. Because you are so filled with yourself, you're so filled with pride, you are so stubborn to humbling yourself before God and really allowing God to use you, really submitting yourself to the Lord so the Lord can use you and the Lord can take you and mold your life. You are so resistant to that, that what you're taught here and what you learn will oftentimes go in one ear and out the other. I've talked to many students who have said, many former students who have talked about getting right with the Lord in their last years here in the university, or maybe in some cases even after they left. And the response is always the same. Oh, the years I wasted. The things I could have learned but didn't learn. Why didn't you learn them? Because you were not teachable, because there was no humble spirit there. That's why. Humility is not a 12-step process that you go through. The Scripture simply says to humble yourself before the Lord. It's an issue of your heart. It's an issue of being willing to submit yourself to God and to recognize before God who you are and to ask God to make you what He wants you to be. Humble yourselves before the Lord and He will lift you up. Don't try to make something of yourself. Don't try to be someone great. Don't seek great things for yourself, the Scripture says. Seek the Lord. Humble yourself before Him. Some of you this morning may need to get alone with God and simply ask Him to give you the humility and the dependence upon Him that He desires to see in your life and that you need. This is one issue. One issue that I think that can make a vast difference and will make a vast difference in some of your lives in coming years. I've known some men in the ministry. Some of them perhaps have even stood in this pulpit and preached, and some have probably even shared their stories with you, who had a very high and haughty view of themselves. Despite their talents, despite their abilities, despite their great potential for the Lord, they thought so much of themselves that God could not use them. And then God brought them through some difficult times. God had to break them. Maybe it was sickness in the family. Maybe it was personal, some type of personal problems, financial problems, physical problems. The stories are almost endless. But after that time of humbling, they will all tell you that is when God began to use them. Young people, what a sad thing to have to go through that to be humbled. What a sad thing to be so stiff-necked that God has to break you, to bend you. Rather, humble yourself before the Lord. Seek Him. Seek His face, young people. Realize that you are nothing of yourselves. You are nothing without the Lord. In fact, Christ said in John 15, without me, you can do nothing. Realize that. Understand what that means. That you need to be totally, completely dependent upon Christ. Humble yourself. Be little in your own eyes, and He will lift you up. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, we pray this morning that You would use Your Word to open our eyes to the serious nature and role that humility plays in our life and of our usefulness to Thee. Lord, here are young people with great talents and abilities to be used of Thee in the future generations if You do tarry. But Lord, some of them are not humble. Some of them have not cast themselves upon Thee. They are not dependent upon Thee. They are so filled with their own self-dependence that You don't use them and will not use them. Lord, I pray this morning that You will bring them before You, that they would come before You and humble themselves, that they would seek Your face, that they would cast their total dependence upon Thee, and that You might use them in the years to come. For we pray in Jesus' name.
You've been listening to the Chapel Hour coming to you from the campus of Bob Jones University. Our speaker was Reverend Larry Ball, pastor of Calvary Baptist Church in Hollister, California. If you'd like a cassette copy of today's message, send a check for $7 to Campus Store, Bob Jones University, Greenville, South Carolina 29614. Be sure to mention the name of the speaker and today's date. The Chapel Hour has been sponsored by Bob Jones University.